Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 19th of August, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is coming out of Babylon, living under Yahweh's law, Q, fake news, treason, Yahweh's army, and more. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. In fact, over there right now it would be Prinhan Da, which is good afternoon. A little tidbit I always like to throw in that we got the fingerprints of our heritage and who we are all over the place. It is the Welsh word for father that we say more commonly in America today, dad. Isn't that cute? So it goes over to our Welsh Celtic origins, and it goes all the way back to ancient Paleo Hebrew. We do welcome callers. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible in order to allow others to participate. We are in the question and answer mode. The website, if you wish to donate, check on Daily Mail, check on resources, or look for archive programs is the following: www.pastordan.net. We do give a thank you to our supporters out there. It is very much appreciated. Ezekiel 25:14. I think we're there, folks, along with Obadiah, verse 18. And I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel. And they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury. And they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. Again, that's Ezekiel 25, backed up by, of course, Obadiah 18, where Joseph and Jacob become a flame and a fire, and Edom Esau is consumed. We've said that on this program many times. You cannot have a solution to any of the world's problems, none of them, as long as Jews have any power whatsoever, whether we're talking government, banking, medicine, pharmaceuticals, farming, education, and certainly religion. If they have anything to do with any of those items, then it will fail. They control both sides. They use their obscene Babylonian money wealth to buy off whoever or whatever they need to succeed. You got to remember, they have no morals and no scruples. In a Jew's mind, whatever is good for Jews is the right thing to do. Period. That's it. That comes right out of their Talmud, which is their holy book. And that's why they deceive so many Christians, because they believe they're the people of the Bible. They believe that they study the Bible, when that is the furthest thing from the truth. No, they don't. They study the Talmud. Their rabbis teach from the Talmud. And in their religion, a rabbi has more power than God Almighty. You didn't know that? Your preacher didn't tell you that? Might explain the great deception of this time, right? The deception would be so great that the elect themselves would be deceived if it were possible. The only reason it's not possible, of course, is the elect walk with Father Yahweh and therefore have His Holy Spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why are we in such turmoil today? You know, I get that question a lot. When are the men going to put an end to what's going on? And that's a very good question. When are we men, meaning the white Adamic men who are of faith, because the non-believers I don't throw in here, the cucks, the soy boys, the social justice warriors, snowflakes, etc. They're not real men anyway. They may have the equipment of a male, but they're not real men. So when are the real men of Jacob Israel going to get together and put an end to this? Because the world system isn't going to put an end to this nonsense. Most of the world system doesn't even believe as we believe. They don't believe the truth of the Bible, do they? So who are you looking for to solve the problems of the world outside of our circle? Why would you look outside of our circle? Good question. I get asked that question frequently. I don't have an answer other than the men have just not reached the point where they're ready to come together as men. It's bewildering because we have the power. We've been told by our Heavenly Father that there's no power on earth that can stand against us, and yet we act as if every power out there can stand against us. Our women, our children, the minorities, the Jews, the government, taxes, regulations. I mean, that's a common thing I hear. Well, they'll come and take my property, Dan, or they'll throw me in jail. Really? Okay, so what's that got to do with the right thing to do? Somebody show that to me in Scripture, please. Please, I'm waiting. 19 years I've been waiting. Where is it? Where is in Scripture it say that we are to compromise with evil? Please tell me where that's at so I can read it. Where does it say that we're to contemplate what Caesar might do to us before we decide to act and be just and right? Where does it say that, please? I would like to know. And again, I'm not saying be foolish and go out there and do something idiotic and just become another martyr. That's not what I'm saying here. But when are the men who have the power, and not only that, but have the righteous attitude? You see, that's what's wrong today. We are being governed by people who have no scruples. They have no morality. They have no code or ethics. And so pretty much that's why the Jews are in power, because they can produce fake money. So they can throw as much fake money at a weak person as they want. How do you buy the police off? You stuff the police leadership's pockets full of shekels. How do you buy off Congress? You stick shekels in their pockets. How do you buy off the church? You stick shekels in the seminaries. And you stick shekels in the big mega churches. They kowtow to the biggest donor, don't you know? Why does advertising control what the media says? Who do you think controls advertising? Yeah, follow the shekels. You want to know why the media is communistic and liberal and can't tell the truth, even if you put a gun to their head? Well, it's called Judaism. All right? Take a Jew. They can't tell the truth. You could put electrodes to them and torture them, and they still can't tell the truth. They're liars. They're born liars. Exactly what Christ said. And yet our people just want to hang on to the lie of the church and the lie of the media, as if these people are somehow magnanimous and are great friends. They're not great friends to anybody. Ask the people in the Middle East how great a neighbor they've been. Ask the people over in the Southeast Asia what great friends the Jews are. They come in and do the same thing to them as they've done to us. They buy off the weak ones, they buy off the guys at the top, and then they just suck the resources right out of the country. So the Jews get richer and everybody else gets poorer. It's the same storyline over and over and over and over. Yet this word, our holy word, tells us that there's a day coming, according to Ezekiel 25 and Obadiah 18 and the book of Revelation, that the world's going to wake up to these nefarious creatures and they're going to deal with them. What's it say in Revelation? The whole world will walk by as the false priests and the beast are thrown into the pit, which is symbolic of what? Being isolated, being their power is taken away, their resources are taken away. And the whole world is going to walk by going, these? This is the son of perdition? This is what deceived us? This people that's schizophrenic, paranoia, sick, demented, immoral, that have abused and brought all kinds of misery upon the earth, this scrawny, weak, cowardly, dirty group of people deceived the rest of us? Yeah, pretty much, that's it. So how much longer? That's the question. How much longer? Now, for those who follow the Q posts, Q said that Israel, the Israelis, the fake Jews, the Revelation 2:9 Jews, are going to be dealt with last, saving the best for last, meaning saving the most culpable, the biggest criminals in all of the false flags and the murder and the deceptions that have been going on, saving the worst for last. Well, we'll see if it's true, won't we? Because, again, Q could be. It is possible that it's a psyop. However, as Lionel Nation, who used to be in Tampa and now he's in New York, used to be a federal prosecutor, now he's a full-time broadcaster. But he's probably one of the most articulate broadcasters out there. He certainly has a vocabulary second to none. But as he put it to the people, you know, whether you like Q or not, whether you believe in Q or not, Q has woken up a lot of people. A lot of people are now talking about significant events and issues that were completely brain dead 6 months ago or a year ago. Okay, so whether you like him or not, or whether it's 100% accurate or not, it has woken a lot of people up, just as this message is reaching a lot of people. I'm getting an awful lot of positive feedback from all over here lately. People are starting to shake the dust off their heads. They're starting to get their minds working again. They're starting to realize that we've been buffaloed about almost every significant issue known to man. We have been lied to. And it's time to wake up to those lies. Yahweh tells us in Scripture that the truth shall set you free. Not lies, not deceptions. Now, Michael, one of our listeners, has sent in Micah 3:11-12, says, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, which means our people that we should be able to trust are bought and paid for. And the prophets thereof divine for money. And so there again, the prophets. Yet they will lean upon Yahweh and say, is not Yahweh amongst us? None evil can come upon us. And a lot of these televangelists and all these people that we thought we could trust that are actually creeps, actually criminals, actually degenerates. They actually think they're above the law. They actually think they could never be caught. You know, I saw one guy say that an explanation for why these people do what they do is they have done it for so long that they no longer realize that it's illegal. Not only immoral, but illegal. The Peter Strzoks, the Lisa Pages, the James Comeys, the Clappers, the Brennans, they actually believe that they can do literally anything they want to do. You know, it sounds simplistic, but it's true. They actually don't see that they're doing anything wrong. They've gotten away with criminality for so long, they think it's normal. I just saw where Bruce Orr and his wife Nellie Orr are in big time trouble because they violated four or five major statutes against improperly registering dealings with a foreign entity and for money that they took. And again, the explanation's simplistic, but it's so true. These people are so corrupt, so evil, and have had nobody hold them accountable for a damn thing for so long, they actually think that they can do what they're doing. That's because we the people have stepped out of the picture. Our founding fathers said it. Liberty requires what? Eternal vigilance. George Washington and Ben Franklin told the people coming out of Philadelphia that we have given you a republic if you can keep it. If you can keep it. I didn't finish here, Micah 3:12. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Judgment's coming for these people. And praise Yahweh for that. It's certainly time. It's certainly time. Whether Trump's for real or not, whether Q's for real or not, Yahweh's for real. He can use anybody he wants. You know, you seem to think it's got to be somebody that's proclaimed the identity message all their life, or they're going to have some flowing white robe and a halo over their head. Yahweh can choose whoever he wants. That's what the word anointed means, by the way. It's called out from above. Anybody can be anointed. Doesn't mean you have wings coming out of your back and a shiny halo on your head and you've got the radiance of an archangel. Right? Anointed. Anointed. From above. Not from a seminary. Not from any earthly institution. From above. And praise Yahweh, it's that way. So again, we've got this situation going on where everybody knows what's wrong. I mean, look at the devious and depraved behavior from the left right now. Whether it's a news broadcaster or a Hollywood a celebrity or a pundit in Washington, whatever. Look at the complete insanity and absolutely zero scruples and morals based on biblical law. None. It's almost like they're throwing it in your face. The Satanists are standing up challenging the righteous to do a damn thing about it. I wonder when Yahweh's going to take the restrainer away. You know, the book says that he will hold his people back by the restrainer for a time. And then he takes the restrainer away and all hell breaks loose. That's why I pray every night that Father himself decide that the time has come to put an end to this insanity, this madness, and the innocent people that have been tortured, maimed, sacrificed, abused. How many soldiers have to die in meaningless wars? How many more soldiers do we have to commit suicide? You know, we're losing over 22 a day. That's a record high in America. 22 of our soldiers every single day commit suicide. That's a greater loss than all of the combat losses per day. And we've got our soldiers in many, many places they should not be. And even with that, and even with all of the draconian things our State Department and Foreign Affairs people and our intelligence agencies do to piss off the entire world, they still don't kill as many of our soldiers as our soldiers do themselves. Are you taking that all in, folks? Your soldiers are killing themselves at a higher rate than the enemy is. What does that tell you? What does it tell you? Do you have a heart at all for the men and women in uniform? That they're put in harm's way for nothing but Jewish propaganda and Jewish wars for profit? Does it bother you at all? Your sons and daughters are out there in uniform for that purpose? Do you think maybe that has something to do with the suicide? The fact that they know they're out there doing things to innocent people in the name of the U.S. government, which is run around by the nose, by the Zionist, communist pigs in Washington, and the Pentagon, and the intelligence agencies. I'm reading Kevin Shipp's book about the CIA when he was in the CIA. I'm in the very beginnings of the book, but it's amazing to me the things that go on there. Of course, I read the book on how the CIA and the other intelligence agencies came into existence, so it doesn't surprise me. But it's just amazing the infighting, the insanity, and the stupid political correctness and affirmative action programs that plague our industry and America in general also plague the hierarchy of the intelligence agencies. They're just as propagandized and politicized as the rest of America. And so he even talks about it in the book that you don't get hired and you don't get promoted based on talent anymore, but based on skin color and sex. And I mean sexual equipment, not having sex, though I'm sure that enters the picture in Hollywood and places like that. So again, talent is not the question. It's political correctness and how much you'll kiss the ass on the guy in charge above you. That's what Washington's run by. That's why everything's falling apart. That's why nothing is working. That's not Yahweh's way. Jimmy at Bank versus UTV is with us today, and we want to give a shout-out to his listeners as well as he's mirroring this program over on his channel. He sends in a comment here, the origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds. Lice and other insects would often get into the wool of the sheep, and when they got near the sheep's head, they would burrow into the sheep's ears and kill the sheep. So ancient shepherds poured oil on the sheep's head. This made the wool slippery, making it impossible for insects to get near the sheep's ears because the insects would slide off. From this, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. Anointing with oil. And even in the Bible, it talks about, may Yahweh anointeth my head with oil. Symbolic of exactly what Jimmy's putting in here. Blessings, protection, and empowerment. I've also come to realize that there are some natural oils that bring healing. I had it was kind of like in between a wart and a birthmark that showed up on my face. And it wasn't that it was extremely ugly, but it just looked out of place. Didn't look like it belonged there. So I started using organic castor oil. And interestingly enough, castor gets its name. It used to be called Palm of Christ. Interesting, isn't it? So put the Palm of Christ oil on it, and over a period of 2 weeks, it changed color, shape, size, and eventually disappeared off my face. Is that a miracle? Well, to me it is, because how else was I going to get it off there? Go to a dermatologist, have some kind of surgery, and typically when it gets near the eyes, they won't touch it. And so here, just anointing the head and the face with the Palm of Christ oil, a blemish or an imperfection just simply disappeared over a period of time. You see, that's the problem. We don't have patience today. Like I said, it took almost 2 weeks. Most of our people don't have enough patience to do something for 2 minutes, let alone 2 weeks. If you have patience, Yahweh can work miracles in anybody's life. And I've had a lot of recent contact with some of our older brothers and sisters, and I'm here to tell you, Yahweh has gifts ready to issue to his children in the very near future. You'll be shocked at what these gifts will do for you, all right? We already know about the organics and the non-GMOs. If you stay away from those things and you eat a very wholesome, very simple, earth-based diet, the positive things that will do for you, both for your health and for staying in shape, folks. Yahweh expects us to stay in shape. Isn't it funny that the closer you walk to Father Yahweh, the closer you follow his food laws, and just his food laws also require that you don't put poison in there, folks. So I've had people say, well, I don't eat shrimp, I don't eat crab. However, I do eat high fructose corn syrup, pink number 5, red number 6, blue number 2, GMOs I eat, hybrid seed foods I eat, but I don't eat the unclean. Well, I got news for you. Those are unclean because they're not natural. So when you start eating the natural and it's got nutrients in it, the things the body wants, guess what? The appetite starts going away. Guess what happens to the waistline? Guess what happens to all that ugly fat that's hanging all over the body and it's hurting your organs and hurting your bloodstream? All right? They shrink on their own. Don't even have to go to a gym. Don't have to buy a certificate down at Planet Fitness or any of the rest of them. It just starts melting away because you're not hungry all the time. You're not stuffing your face with all this phony food. It's not real food. It's phony food. I've had people say, well, I just can't lose weight. Well, stop eating the shit. Stop eating the junk. Your body's a machine. It's an engine. You put the proper food in the engine, guess what? It runs great. And it doesn't require a lot. It sips on it, just like a well-tuned engine. It just sips on the fuel. You start choking off the carburetor, you plug up the exhaust pipe, or you put fouled plugs in it. Oh, and that engine does what? Oh, it consumes all kinds of fuel and doesn't really get anywhere very fast. Everything is in logic. Everything works according to a plan. Yahweh's plan for mankind was he eats proper food, drinks proper water, gets proper exercise, and everything just sort of takes care of itself. Isn't that marvelous? Jimmy writes in here, therapeutic castor oil is cold pressed from the small, thick, round seeds of the tropical castor bean plant. Ricinus communis L. And I can't even pronounce that one. Euphorbiacea. I always love that they give them these Latin names. It's like, come on, just call it castor bean plant, please. None of us are biologists. Maybe biologists get off on all that stuff, just like doctors get off on calling the bones, naming every bone in the body. My daughter's a nurse, and she told me about when she had to learn the Latin name for all the bones. I went, why? What good is it to know the identification of every bone in the body? Why? That was the beauty of natural health classes when I went to them. You don't waste time with nonsense. Naming a bone doesn't do a damn thing to make it better. Learning how they all work together in a system and how dis-ease comes about, meaning that homeostasis is disrupted with dis-ease, and you bring the body back into ease, and guess what? Everything works fine. So this oil comprises 60% of the seed and is rich with ricinolin and glyceride of ricinolic acid. See, I can't pronounce these things. I should probably go back and restudy the phonics that my son learned when he was homeschooled. He could pronounce words in the second grade that I could never pronounce even as an adult. You know, that's the beauty of homeschooling. When they do it the old-fashioned way, you had to read McGuffey readers, and you had to learn the phonics charts. Public school system doesn't even teach the children the phonics charts, but the homeschoolers do. And like I said, my son in the second grade, so that's 7 years old, could pronounce words like these without skipping a beat, because he had memorized all the phonics charts. Again, 7 years old. And I'm a lot older than that now, and I still struggle with it because I'm too stubborn to go back and memorize the charts the way my son did. But really, that's what I should do. All of us should do that. And you could read a lot faster, and you could pronounce properly instead of just taking a stab at it. Everything in life is simple. That's the beauty of it all. It's very simple. Answers are always very simple, usually very biblical. It's the doing seems to be the problem. It's the doing. And that's why we have the trouble we have in our land today. Every white nation's in big trouble because we are ignoring the simplistic answers. And that's why one of the topics on my agenda, and again, if somebody wants to call in, please don't hesitate. I don't need to turn this into a gigantic rant of just me, but one of the things on my list for agendas today is coming out of Babylon. Okay, everybody's been asking me, how do I get out of Babylon? I mean, it's the whole idea behind the Ark Project. We call it the Ark Project, which is the building of a community. But it takes resources, and it takes manpower, and it takes dedicated people that want to come together and build it. And, of course, we need to know where. I have an idea where it should be. Yahweh, of course, is the final arbiter of that. But the concept is just simply get back to basics. Get back to a biblical lifestyle. And I've had an awful lot of people contact me that say that that's desirous of them. They would love to live with a community of people who think the same way. Let's get back to basics. Get back to simplistic living. Come off the grid. Come off of this treadmill, this Babylonian treadmill that the Antichrist has us on. This is not the way Father intended us to live. Case in point, I'm now retired, been retired now for well over a year. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We used to have a saying when I was a young man, it's you're doing things like a white man, or you're living like a white man. That used to be the way we'd say it. And now I understand what they meant here with retirement. You're seeing that this is the way a man was supposed to live. You get up when you get up. You do whatever you feel is important that day. You set your priorities. If you need a nap, you take a nap. If you need a bite to eat, you stop and get a bite to eat. If you need a cold drink of water, you go get a cold drink of water. If you want to go help a friend instead of doing something else, then go help a friend. If you need to fix your roof, you go work on your roof. Maybe your neighbor comes by and gives you a hand. That's the way we were to do things, okay? You're in charge, not some taskmaster who owes his allegiance to the Jew banker that he got his note for his business from. And so when the Jew banker comes down and say, I need more profit, I need more productivity, just like in the power industry and virtually every other industry I know of. In the last 10 years, there's been a big push to reduce the manning levels. Why? Because that increases profits. However, what you don't know is that the same amount of work needs to be done. So they just went to the people that didn't get laid off and said, you now have twice as much responsibility. I saw it in the power industry. We had system engineers. And by a system engineer, it means that you were given certain systems and you were to be the subject matter expert on those systems. For instance, the control cabinets for the reactor or the turbine. What do we used to call it? Basically, the high-pressure turbine that produces the electricity by turning the turbine itself. But the steam turbine has this very electro-hydraulic control system is what it's called. I went to school on it several times. The point of it is an engineer was given systems like this, and he was to know everything about them. The technical questions had to be answered by him. He had to know all of the electrical prints, all the piping and instrumentation diagrams. We call them P&IDs. He had to know all of those. And some of them were damn good. I remember some of the young engineers I worked with when I was a young man. They were damn good. They knew a lot. You go to and ask them a question, they could tell you what cabinet to go to, what board to pull out. They were really sharp guys. Later on, as I watched the industry fall into political correctness, not so much. They started bringing in minorities and women and lesser white men because colleges had lesser requirements, just like the military did. They lowered the requirements so that they could get in minorities and women, and it turned out you got in white trash along with it. because the requirements were lowered. So these engineers, you could go and ask them a question. A lot of times they had no idea. In fact, they had an attitude that you even came and asked them a question. It was like, you figure it out. Well, you're the engineer. So what? You see how that works? So with knowledge and with these systems, when they went into the engineers and said, now you're responsible for twice as many systems, what do you think that did to the level of professionalism and knowledge of the subject matter expert? It reduced it even worse. And now their attitude is bad because they're always behind schedule. They're always unable to answer the questions, so they don't look very good in the meetings. They don't look very good to the troops in the field. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Again, that's what we're living in. Babylon. Confusion. Confusion why? Because of admixture. That's what the word Babylon means. It comes from the Hebrew. All right? Confusion caused by admixture. What is admixture? In fact, I've got it up on my screen. Let me give you the dictionary definition. Adding anything added, any alien element or ingredient. The act of mixing, a state of being mixed. Mixed. But the number two definition, anything added, any alien element or ingredient. And below is an example. This is a pure product. There is no admixture. No admixture. Can you say race mixing? Can you say mixing God's law and man's law? Things that don't belong together that pollute. That's what adultery is. When you adulterate something, you pollute it. It's got nothing to do with the marital status of two participants in the sex act like the church is teaching. That's ridiculous. Adultery is adulterating. You have altered or adulterated that which was pure. We have a caller here, Curtis. Curtis, welcome to the program.
Hello, Pastor Dan. I'd like to put my two cents in and say confusion is a way to keep people in the dark, keep them confused, keep them under control. They want to keep the veil of shut down free speech so they can, people won't be able to think about what they're supposed to think. Use the label of I'm not racist or something like that when their people are being robbed and denied employment and denied places to live or right to live anywhere. But this is what I'd like to repeat. It's just confusion is just a way of keeping you in the dark. But
yeah.
Those are my two cents on it.
Well, yeah, you're 100% right. 100% right.
Yeah, I appreciate venues like this to keep people informed, to give us the courage to search for the truth, know Yahweh better.
Well, you know, Bill Holter, the economist, said 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb. 2018 would be the year that truth matters. Do you feel 2018 is sort of that way?
I think it's more about action. I mean, a lot of our people I know. I work a low skilled job. And they look at identity as just a bunch of talkers who's going to get them arrested or beaten up. They don't have faith or trust in us. I'm looking for the time when the system won't come down so hard on us, and people won't be so scared, you know, of being smashed. That's my opinion on it.
Now, when you say they consider us dangerous or going to get them in trouble, who is the they? People that you know?
The fence sitters.
All the fence.
Just want to sit on the fence. You mentioned them.
Yeah.
They just want to sit on the fence and go along to get along, and all the people that don't want to speak out. There still needs to be an awakening, but I don't have the experience to as you do, of course. to know exactly, to be able to feel the pulse of the situation. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Are you familiar, Curtis, with the Republic of Texas group down there?
I used to. My stepfather told me about it, but it was a long time ago.
Well, what's the general feeling, since Texas is one of the few states that never gave up its right to be an independent nation? Actually, all states have that right. They just don't recognize it. But Texas, even in the current Babylonian system, retains the right to be an independent nation state. Is there any talk or sentiment towards seceding from the Union there?
Not as much as people say, because people in Texas don't have the right to association. If somebody a non-white or minority wants to move next to you, you have to move. And if Texas is, you know, every day is being overrun by Mexico, so the Mexicans really run things here. So you're able to talk Babylonian babble and blah 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 blah. But any concrete racial talk, like we're talking about, it's going to be cracked down on.
Well, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, of course, but what do you see as getting our people off their asses and actually wanting to organize to resist the intended destruction of our nation and our race, actually? Do you see people rising up and resisting this, or are we just going to go into that long, dark night and disappear from existence?
Well, my grandmother said that once the education system goes, we're in big trouble. And the women and children don't feel safe around us. And the young people coming up, it's their show. They're the ones that are going to decide. And I feel that what would probably get them to understand better would be to continue shows like this, and to us to work around the system if we have to, just to keep the truth coming out to them, because they're going to need a lot of time to get that garbage of the public school system out of their mind, because their minds have been polluted, and it's going to take a lot of information to clean it out.
Right.
So that was my question.
Well, we need the homeschooling movement to be advanced quite a bit. Three of my six children were homeschooled, and so I got to see the difference. Interestingly, that you're there in Texas, because when I worked in near Dallas many years ago, my son attended a Christian school that was based in a Quonset hut. For those in the military, you know what a Quonset hut is. It's basically a arch-shaped building like a garage made of all metal pieces. It's an all-metal building. But this was a large Quonset hut, and that was the whole school. From grade 1 to 12 was all in a single Quonset hut. But I'm going to tell you something. The value of what he was being taught by the teachers there, because those teachers were like the old school teachers. They cared about the students' learning. They didn't care about political correctness or any of that garbage. And I'm going to tell you, they were excellent. That might have been a small school, but the students attending that school got an actual education. They were taught how to think. They were taught how to use the mind as if it's a muscle. And if you don't exercise a muscle, it atrophies and becomes worthless. Well, same thing with the mind. If it's not challenged, if it's not giving tasks that require its use, it atrophies as well. And that's why I think the beast has made it so plentiful, all of these electronic distractions, because they don't require any brain power, not really. You just play them. You're entertained 24 hours a day, and there's no real challenge to the mental process. I mean, does that all make sense?
That's perfectly correct. It's just the easy way out. That if you go along with the system, you don't have to worry about being messed with or being pushed around or going through any lawsuits. This is the way to go. Go hide behind your electronic media. Da-di-da-da-di-da-da-di-da-da. Good point.
Right. And how long have you known the identity message, if I might ask?
Oh, about 2 years. About 2016.
And what was it that triggered your epiphany to the message, if I can ask?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I actually moved to an apartment complex in Odessa, and I was surrounded by Mexicans, and I could not do anything without them getting right next to me, laughing at me and teasing me. I could not go anywhere without being bullied around. I wanted so much to go the easy route and just kind of sit on the fence and watch what's going on. But Yahweh had different plans for me, and this is where he wanted me to be. And generally that misery and that agony that I had to go through as a white guy just helped me realize, you know, the fact that there's just no place to go to avoid this, or no way to hide from electronic gadgets and stuff.
Right.
They haven't seen what it's like to be surrounded by minorities and the fear of crime and the lack of control they have. They don't understand that. They live in New England or Vermont or something, or live in a wealthy neighborhood. They say South Africa, that's the wrong country or something. But if they lived in South Africa, or they lived in some of the neighborhoods we white people live in or surrounded in, because we can't afford to live, you know, you can't afford to live in an area that's not surrounded by minorities now. If you live in like parts of the South, lots more parts of the country. So I imagine in that area, I think that people have awakened. But I don't think, I wish there were more people were awake. And I think the media is scared of that, that they're trying to shut down a lot of free speech venues because if people get together and start networking, they're going to be some mad people. And you made a good point about one of these days there's going to be a backlash, you know, and they're going to be mad.
Well, yeah, even James David Manning, the black PhD preacher in his 50s there in Harlem, has talked about that, you know, he tells his black audience and congregation that you're reveling in the destruction of white America, but he says you're ignorant if you think this is going to continue, because there will be a backlash, and when it comes, it will be ugly. Very, very ugly. And you should not be reveling in it. You should be trying to oppose it, because whether you like it or not, the white race built this nation. It's our customs, our laws, our morality, our ethics that built this nation and made it great. It was not any of these minorities. And that includes the nefarious Zionist Jew. They like to say that. I had one Jew one time got on a talk show. I was a guest, and he tried to tell me that one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence was a Jew, and I told him, I said, I don't know what you smoked for lunch, but there were no Jews involved with that at all. So you might come on to shows like this and spew your propaganda and lies, but this nation, the founding fathers were very, very outspoken about their distrust and actual hatred for Jews, because they watched what Jews did to Europe, how they destroyed the monarchies of Europe. And were driven out of the, 109 times they've been driven out of countries of Europe because of their misdeeds, and including blood libel, by the way. So all this stuff about pedophilia and all has happened before. Just look it up and do a Google search on blood libel. You'll find that Jews were found to be capturing, kidnapping, torturing, and sacrificing our children for many, many years all through Europe, and that typically was the final straw when our ancestors kicked them out. So nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, and so here we are repeating history, only this time it's on a massive, massive scale. So when the uprising comes, it will be gigantic. Obadiah says it'll become like a flame and a fire. You can kind of see that happening, can't you, Curtis?
I can. I can see more people coming in. But I'd like to say that one thing that really that you need to know, I'd like to know, I have some more opinions, but the Jews, the older people, single out the young people of our race to bully around if they don't have their parents around. The ones that have been mixed up with multiculturalism, sitting on the fence. So these guys, these think they're just sitting on the fence and doing nothing. But they, like 40-year-old men, will just go and bully, harass and terrorize and drive crazy young people. And that's why I find that very bad. They could just, they're so evil to do that to little children, you know, like that.
Just, right.
Just who would be such who could be so evil to do that? But I can't even comprehend how much they hate us, how much hate and lies they have in them. It's hard for these hard people to wrap around a big lie. They can't. How can somebody hate me like this? How can somebody go through so much trouble to bring me so much agony and misery? Probably they'll just get tired of it and stop. How would we stop them? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Well, it's these are the pains you go through when you violate his law. That's why we have so many shows talking about what it would be like for us to live anywhere, whether it's a county, a state, or an entire nation, under God's law instead of this Babylonian man's law. And if we were living under God's law, we wouldn't have any of these problems, would we, Curtis?
Yep. I have to add this on. It says that God says, don't have a stranger rule over you. That's God's law. And, if we have strangers and minorities rule over us, we're gonna have a lot of agony and misery, unemployment, people scared of each other, just all kinds of just terrible evil things, kind of unthinkable. And the wrath of Yahweh is great. If Yahweh is mad at you, it's awful.
Well,
time
yeah.
Set still, and you're right.
Look what they're doing to our kinsmen over in South Africa.
Oh, I heard about that. It's just, and they go up there and they'll say, "I want your car. You stole it from me. I'm taking it from you. I'll take you where you want to go." And if anybody fights back, they're arrested for assault. The blacks down there can just murder somebody or take your car. And if say if the Jews, for instance, as evil as we know they are, they're not going to ask if you're a Jew or not. If you're white, you're white. You know, they don't understand it. Eventually, it's going to come back to them. And I hope that this dark night that we go to isn't going to happen, but it's never going to stop.
Well, it's going to keep disintegrating until at such point there's nothing left. Maybe that's what it takes for the white people to get off their ass. There's absolutely nothing left. No jobs, no food, no water, no housing, and the minorities have completely taken over as they have in South Africa. And then you find out what racism's really all about. You know, they call the white race racist. But in actuality, we're the least racist of any people on earth. You want to see real racism, go to It's a Lie and see what the Jews do to the Palestinians. If you want to see real racism, see what the South Americans and Latinos do to non-Latinos. Go see what the blacks in South Africa, Rhodesia, Sierra Leone, and any of those other sub-Saharan nations do. See what they do to the people that are not of their kind. So it's the irony that we believe the propaganda and the BS put out by the fake news media, You know, and here, Curtis, let me get your opinion on this. I've said it for years that the people I blame even more than Jews are the preachers today.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a go along to get along scenario. They're definitely not telling the truth. They're hiding from the truth. They're hiding behind their congregation and throwing them to the wolves. They're just sacrificing their congregation to keep their job. Wouldn't that be a good opinion?
Yeah. Well, they're leading the sheep to the slaughter. Think about it. Our people are being led just like sheep to the slaughter. The South Africans believed the propaganda and allowed their nation to be taken from them, and it's become a hellhole. And American whites cheered it, and European whites cheered it. And it's like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? Putting blacks in charge? And not only just blacks, but communist blacks. Nelson Mandela was a murderer and a communist. And you got white people today. Huh?
He set off bombs. He's a terrorist. He was in jail for setting off bombs and secretly hiding and setting off a bomb and running off. He just didn't commit a crime out in the open. He just secretly did it.
Well, you know what he and his wife were guilty of? Did you ever hear of the necktie procedure?
I think I have it.
Yeah, anybody that stood opposed to Nelson Mandela and his witch wife, they would put an automobile tire around them and pour it full of gasoline and then set it on fire. That's what they do to the people that stood against them. That's what's coming to America. That's the kind of behavior that these liberals and these brain-dead white people that think Nelson Mandela was such a great guy, that's what they're cheering, is a man and his wife who reveled in putting automobile tires around a person so that they couldn't get out of it. Lane says it was called neck lacing. They put a tire around him, fill it full of fuel oil or gasoline, and then set it on fire. I mean, what kind of person does that? Okay, I can see killing your enemies as in war, not torturing them, not trying to prolong their agony. They're just your enemy, and so you dispatch them, because if you don't, they will dispatch you. Okay, that makes sense. But this is sadistic. This is satanic. What these people do?
Yeah, how could they just be so engulfed in being uncivilized?
It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So you're down there in Southeast Texas, and we certainly know that you're in a hot spot as far as the invasion of this country. What do the people in the area think about the idea of a wall? Do they think it's a good idea or not?
Well, you know, Pastor Dan, I feel that without the right of association, it depends on who your neighbors are. If you're surrounded by a bunch of minorities, you're not going to, I mean, the people won't talk. But if you're in an area that isn't overrun, you might have a more stronger right-wing stance. It's just the working poor in the masses, they're just afraid of speaking out, because speaking out means getting beaten up or put in jail or get a lawsuit, anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't talk much about it. It just depends on who you're surrounded by, depending on how much you talk, because you never know if... you'll be singled out. Somebody, you know, your neighborhood will be colonized, and you have to split. It depends on how long you can stay. It's just that bad here.
Well, it's that bad in Yellowstone. I just got an email from one of our listeners that worked at Yellowstone, and he was fired for talking about diversity with another person there. and he was actually fired for talking, probably talking about the truth of diversity, and they fired him for it. So that's the world we live in. You're right. We don't have free association. We don't have free press, and we don't have free speech. So those are all signs of a nation in decline. It's just, I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up. I really don't. One of the listeners says your volume is kind of low. Is there any way you can increase your volume? Because I can't increase it at this end.
Here it goes. How's that?
Oh, that's stronger. Yep, that's stronger.
Yeah, he was right. I turned it up. I didn't. It's Sunday morning. I didn't want it to be too loud, but that's all right.
Well, this is a fairly simplistic system I have here. In the old system, I could boost the caller's signal, but this one, it's pretty much automatic, and I don't have any control over it. So the person calling in has to control their own volume, so to speak. But everybody could hear you. It was just that it was kind of low. They were just wondering if you could boost it.
You know, Pastor Dan, I like to mention that the working people, if you have a job, it's not good to be looking for another job because you don't know the political correctness. You might lose your existing job, but if you apply for another job, it's a lot more politically correct because you're starting out. You're a green hat, and they're going to say, oh, we don't like you for this reason. This is 90-day probation. So if they fire you, you're pretty much indoctrinated in a way. So people stay quiet and keep their position because what if you get fired and have to apply for another job? And what if you get fired 3 or 4 times? They'll follow you around to whatever job you go. It's so bad. If somebody gets mad at you, they'll make sure that they'll just know where you go to apply for next time. And so forth. And, so, you know, that's my opinion on it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the word tells us that these are perilous times. If you read 2 Timothy and other places that it talks about the state of the world, we're certainly in it. YouTube channels like A Call for an Uprising are pointing out the satanic elements in our society every single day. And it's getting, I mean, really, really ugly. What I wonder is the people that attend churches, what's in their heads? I mean, how can they go to church and pretend to be a believer in the God of the Bible, and yet they don't have any problem with what we're seeing in our society? Where are the preachers, by the way?
When I was growing up in the 80s, my parents said, go to church so you can get a job. Be popular in the community. It's more about popularity and keeping going with the flow and popularity, because the more popular you are, the more power you have, and eventually, if you save up enough money, you can go and do it. But for the meantime, you can prostitute yourself out against Jesus Christ, Yahweh, and get what you want later. So maybe it's just a big sneak. They're just trying to get what they can. They're prostituting their souls and their children, their future, for a while. But maybe there'd be that time they have enough money and go at it. That's my opinion on it.
So in essence, then nothing's really going to change until Father brings about enough misery and takes away enough toys that white people finally wake up. Is that what you're saying?
Creature comforts. Yeah. They're in love with creature comforts. Football games. Good point.
Right. So that tells me that's what's ahead of us then. Because if the white race won't wake up and defend itself, then he'll continue to use the non-whites to punish us until we come back to him. You know, we talk Jay and Jimmy here at Bank versus UTV and all of us, we talk about what it would be like to live in an area under God's law. Would you like to go somewhere where people lived under God's law, Curtis?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you think about the idea that we talk about on this show from time to time, the free state of Florida? What if a group of us actually took control of Florida and made it an independent nation under God's law? What's your thoughts on that?
The things that I would be worried about is like you said, not obeying Yahweh's law. There's a lot of, what we're afraid of is bribery. The weak ones are going to get bribed. And that will be our biggest obstacle, is to get us a homeland of our own where we won't have to be a hamster in a little toy wheel, you know, just have a carrot in front of us, you know, and live in a world where, like you said, you just wake up in the morning, you drink a glass of water, you do what you want, you're a free man. And they don't want to be free men because they just want to be chasing after that carrot or being bribed. So I think that our people that are going to get bribed is going to be the biggest problem, because when Jesus was on the earth, well, Yahweh, of course, but when he was on the earth, Judas betrayed Jesus. So we got to worry about the Judas goat, the people that want to play Judas on us, because members of our own race, they've been harassed and terrorized and teased and controlled for so long that some of us are going to lash out and get mad at some of the preachers trying to help, or some of the other people trying to help, because when you've been mistreated, you lash out. You lose your identity. You lose yourself. So, you know, I know I'm going all over the place here, but what I'm saying is that people are looking for comfort, and they're looking for an easy answer. And living outside of consumerism is going to take practice. Like me, for instance, I may never get to a point where I'm completely with Yahweh, but I know that living for Yahweh now could help someone else out, get out of the system. But it's going to take a lot of practice, and many years of practice to know how to follow Yahweh's food laws, stay out of debt, cut your credit cards, get rid of your driver's license. That takes, you live all your life in this system, it's very hard to not be used to it. So that's my opinion.
Well, that's what the movie The Matrix is all about, which parallels the biblical answer to your question. It's the red pill. When you take the red pill, you wake up to God's law and you abandon the Matrix. Now, all we're saying to do is, under the free state of Florida's rules, you don't have to worry about it, because Judas was not a white man. Judas was a Jew. Ishkariot means a man of Kerioth, and Kerioth was a suburb of Jerusalem occupied by Edomites. Okay, the rest of the apostles were Benjaminites, and the one that replaced Judah was a Benjaminite. So all 12 of the final apostles were white guys of one tribe, Benjamin. So in the free state of Florida, under God's law, you wouldn't have to worry about that, because any public official who accepts a bribe would be hung. So let me ask you, how many bad public officials do you think we'd have in the free state of Florida? Because you're not going to have too many of them anyway, because your government is at the local level, between families and chieftains and things like that. So the public officials that, let's say at the county level, a county commissioner, the equivalent of that, he's found to be corrupt, he would be publicly executed. How many public officials do you think would take a bribe if they knew they were going to be publicly executed?
Good point. There's no...
And who's going to bribe them when you don't have any Jews here? Because Jews would be expelled. No Jew would be allowed in the free state of Florida.
Yeah, because it goes right back to child rearing. I grew up in a time when I was afraid of doing something wrong. I broke the law, I was going to get it. The only reason that I was doing right, because there was going to be a consequence for doing something wrong. If there's a consequence for these guys, there you go.
Everybody works by incentive, or as you said, because of a negative consequence, which to me is a form of incentive. Everybody works for incentive. You get out of, you drag your ass out of bed every morning because your incentive is a paycheck. If they weren't paying you, you wouldn't do it. All right. Well, criminals behave because the incentive is that they don't want to be at the end of a rope or at the end of a barrel in a firing squad. So that's their incentive. Now, the Jews have come in and taken that incentive away with these liberal laws, claiming that it's cruel and inhumane punishment to kill a criminal. Yet the Bible calls for it. But the Jews don't want you to do that because the Jews are criminals. All right? So it makes perfect sense. Who are most of the spies that the United States has ever had? The greatest spies, the ones that did the most damage? They were all Jews. Well, of course Jews don't want you executing spies because that's who the spies are, the Jews. They don't want you executing pedophiles because, well, Jews are into pedophilia. They don't want you execute rapists because Jews are kind of into seeing that non-whites and whites get raped. They kind of enjoy it. They don't want you executing the pornographer because, well, Jews produce most pornography. Okay? So the list goes on and on. You can see why the Jews wanted us to do away with punishment, because they're most of the criminals. But what happened to the white people? And most specifically, what the hell happened to the preachers that are supposed to teach God's word? Where the hell are they?
I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be able to wake up in the morning and not have a taskmaster over you and a lot of taxes?
Exactly.
They just love those creature comforts. They love that television. They love their football games.
Well, you can have all that. Just think about this. Think about this, Curtis. Under Yahweh's law, in the free state of Florida, there's no state tax. There's no federal tax. There's no gasoline tax. There's no property tax. There's no school tax. There's no inheritance tax. Virtually every tax that you now labor under to pay disappears. Do you think you might have a few extra bucks laying around for creature comforts if you're not paying it all to Uncle Sugar and the crooks in government?
Jacob, the going back to the same thing, it's to keep everybody blinded. Keep venues like this, it's restricted, and they're cutting off free speech venues everywhere, so they'll keep them in the dark. I think they're just simply in the dark. They can't think over it. There you go.
Right. That's what when the Bible says that men and women are in the dark, or the children of darkness. Darkness is representative of ignorance, and typically it's ignorance of truth. And most specifically, ignorance of God's law. That's what produces darkness, dark days. Just like the Middle Ages were called the Dark Age. Why? Because there was ignorance. The Catholic Church had risen to power. The Catholic Church has always been corrupt. You know, people tell me, well, no, way back when it first started around 300 AD, it wasn't so corrupt. No, Catholic Church has always been corrupt. First of all, calling any man the vicar of Christ is blasphemy. Any organization saying that men and women can't marry and have children is blasphemy. So the Catholic Church rose in power, which brought along what? Ignorance. Because the Catholic Church told everybody they're the only ones that can interpret the scriptures, because they kept them in Latin. And Latin had fallen away as a spoken language. So most of the white races were speaking French or German or Austrian or whatever. And so they let this whole notion that the priests are the ones that will tell you what God's law is. Well, the right there is a recipe for disaster. Telling any group of men that they can interpret. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like Congress and the legal system. The lawyers are the new bail priests. They have to tell us what the law says. And we're in Mystery Babylon so deep. I don't know that our people will ever get their heads out of their rectums in time to save us. If Yahweh doesn't intervene, we're done, pretty much. The white race is so pathetic today, it's It's got to be a supernatural intervention to save us, because we're pathetic. We can't even protect our own women and children anymore. White men are cucks for the most part. White men are afraid to even say anything, let alone do anything. They're cucks. They've been emasculated. And here again, I blame the preachers. Who are the number one emasculators of the white race, and particularly the white men? It's the modern day preachers. If you go to a mainstream church today, you're going to be emasculated as a white man. Absolutely. Because first of all, the women run the church. I've been there. I know. The women run the church, not the men, and certainly not the preacher. He kowtows to the women because they're there more than the men are.
To people who people who work and produce and build things are just want more and more and more from us. And the people who sit around and talk and scheme, that's where the money is. And they don't have any respect to the people who do the dangerous work. And the people continue to do dangerous work because they want to watch TV, they want to watch that sin, they want to stay in darkness. And they look at that, all that other stuff, and their quest to live in darkness and sin causes them to work and do more dangerous work and pay more taxes. And Yahweh gets angrier and angrier and angrier at them, and they repent. They won't come to the truth.
Yeah, amen to that. Yep, amen to that. I got Jimmy, I know, has been listening in. I wanted to bring him in to see if he has anything he wants to add.
Well, hey, good morning. Good morning.
You can stay on, Curtis, if you want.
Okay. I'll let other people talk. It's sort of like Armageddon. Let's just save who we can. Good job, preacher. Talk to you later.
Okay. Yahweh bless. Jimmy?
Good morning, Pastor Dan and listeners on both sides of the airwaves here. You know, I sit here and listen to what we've discussed this morning, and as you well know, this week has been just such an eye-opener. It's every time I turn around, something more egregious has come to my attention, either through news, this, that, and the other. To be honest, I'm on the fence about Q, but I fully agree with what you stated. It is causing people to wake up. I just caution, one of my famous lines is, I don't know a lot for sure when it comes to the news and what we all are looking to land upon and put trust in other than our Yahweh teachings. But, you know, I listened to Colonel Potter. I've listened to him for quite some time. He gave an interesting discussion, I believe it was yesterday or day before. He was a Q believer, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but even if it is a psyop, they're directing us in a direction that is causing people to even say, well, wait a minute, if that's true. So as far as Q goes, I'm on the fence. I really don't have a yay or nay opinion. But I've always said over the course of time, even when I have an opinion or I have a guest on my show, go do your own research and come back and let's discuss it. But to reiterate what you said, absolutely, the Q phenomenon is causing people to take notice. Even this plane that was supposedly hijacked, but stolen up there in Alaska, Seattle, a few weeks back, and, you know, the FAA records came out, and even though he was doing barrel rolls and this, that, and the other, the flight path clearly indicated a Q-type symbol. Now, what do we read into that, Pastor Dan? What's your opinion on that, if you have one?
Well, first of all, the idea that a guy stole a plane like that and did that with no training is ludicrous. That's just not so. So that tells you they're hiding something. Whether he actually performed a Q-type symbol or not, I would be suspect, because the mainstream media is trying to denounce Q and to discredit it. And so if they can get the public to think of Q being related to some nutcase that steals a plane and crashes it and does weird acrobatics, they're after that effect where you do the word association. So they associate Q with fanaticism, with crazy stunts, and all this other crap. So to me, it's a complete false flag. No matter what it is, it's a false flag. The mainstream media is using it to denounce Q. If there were any white hats involved, it had some other purpose. But the main thing is that we don't know. We don't have a clue what actually happened up there. We really don't. One thing I can tell you, just like with 9/11, and I said it from the day it happened, buildings don't come down on their own footprint by accident like that. They just don't do it. It's physically impossible. So from day one, I knew that the government was lying. And same thing with this plane. Mechanics with no training don't climb into the cockpit of a twin-engine turboprop and fly it in any way, let alone do acrobatics. Acrobatics, even for a trained pilot, is a special classification. And here's the other thing, a special plane. The average plane cannot handle the G-forces and other things on the wings and the fuselage of acrobatics. Acrobatic planes are reinforced planes. They're not your standard issue plane because they can't withstand the pressures on the wings and the struts. So, everything about this story is a complete nonsensical lie to anybody that's armed with truth, who has any experience at all. And you have experience, Jimmy. I've been a student pilot. My buddies are pilots. And we talk about these sorts of things. And people that are in the know dispel lies. And that's part of what we're trying to do with this radio program, is dispel the lies. Just like in nuclear power, I worked my whole career in nuclear power. I know quite a bit about nuclear power. I'm not saying I know everything, but having worked in it for over three decades, I helped build 14 different power plants. I've worked in 14 different power plants in my career. So I think I got a pretty good spread of both the PWRs, which are pressurized water reactors, and the BWRs, which is boiling water reactors. I've worked in both of them. I know how their control systems work. I know what kind of instrumentation's in them. I know the safety features that are in them. I know what kind of people work in them. I know what the control rooms look like. Again, 14 of them in this country during my career. And that doesn't count the ones that are fed by natural gas, fuel oil, and coal. I've worked in them as well. So I can tell you when somebody's lying, for the most part. I can tell you when you're lying about electrical power. I can tell you when you're lying about the Air Force, because I was in maintenance in the Air Force. I can tell you about those sorts of things. And because of my brother and my father and some of my close relatives, I know quite a bit about other industries. But here's the thing. You combat lies and deception with truth. And you hope that the people have enough sense to know that lies are not going to do them any good. As Bill Holter says, 2018 needs to become the year known as when truth matters. When truth starts mattering to people, that's when results will come. That's when they become seekers. And that is what the Q phenomenon has done. It has turned a bunch of people who have been up till now spending their free time playing video games, watching mainstream television, or conversing over their cell phones. It's turned them into researchers. Who do you think QAnon is? Anon means anonymous. So the Anons are predominantly young people, but they're of all ages, but predominantly young people who have said, I'm going to take my time, my precious time, and my ability, and I'm going to dig into this stuff. Because these people are trying to tell me something that I need to be aware of, and they're diggers, they're researchers, and they share with one another. They do exactly what the Bible says. Work together as a team, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here we go. So the Anons are doing that, and Q is feeding them just enough to get them to the next level, which is exactly what we try to do when we teach identity. You don't try to dump the entire identity message on somebody. The Bible says you give them what? Baby food. You give them little easily digestible bits and pieces. For instance, like my buddy woke me up with a simple phrase. Dan, was Jesus Christ a Jew? I got angry as hell at him. Well, of course he is. That's what the Bible says. No, he's not. That's all he did. Walked away from me shaking his head going, no, he's not. And the second time he did it, I got even more angry. I almost punched him. It was like, you're calling me an ignoramus? I can't read the English? It says right there in my King James Version that he was a Jew. No, he wasn't. And then the lights come on. It was then that little voice inside said, Larry's a good friend. He's smart. He's been around. Why do you think he's doing this? He's not saying this to make you angry. He's not doing this to insult you. He's just trying to tell you that there's something you don't know. And that's when I went down to the Christian bookstore and bought my first concordance. Up until then, I didn't even know what a concordance was. 30-some years in the Methodist Church, never even heard the word concordance spoken in the church. 30-some years! I took that concordance home and within a week's time did enough word studies that I went back and I apologized to my buddy. And that's what started me down the path to what we call identity. I figured out that the translators lied, and when you go to the original languages, guess what? It's telling the truth. He was a Jehudite. There's a big difference between a Jehudite and a Jew. They may sound similar. Preachers might not talk about it. Media sure as hell won't talk about it. But if you care about the truth, you're going to want to know what the difference between a Judahite and a Jew is, because Christ was one, but he was not the other. And that changes everything. Just that one simple discovery changes everything. Just like I used to ask him, why does the Bible say thou shalt not kill? It doesn't make any sense. Nobody, Sunday school teachers, preachers, elders in the church, nobody could tell me the answer to that question the whole time I was a young man in the Methodist Church. Not till I got my concordance and I answered it myself. Oh my God, that's not what it says. It says murder. Thou shalt not commit murder. You have every right to kill a pedophile, to kill a rapist, to kill a burglar, to kill an enemy soldier, to kill somebody trying to kill you. You have every right to kill that person. In fact, you're commanded to kill that person.
That's
but
right.
You don't have a right to commit murder. And there's a big difference. What is murder? Murder is taking the life of an innocent person. Somebody breaking into your house is guilty of what? Trespassing. They're a criminal. They're not an innocent person. The person raping your daughter, is he innocent? Nope. Rape is a capital crime. Okay, so you kill him. Somebody trying to rape your wife, same thing, kill him. Somebody trying to kidnap your child at school, daycare school, or from the church parking lot, kidnapping is a capital offense. Okay, kill him. You don't argue with him. You don't try to reason with them. You don't try to figure out whether they're redeemable. The Bible doesn't talk about any of that. The Bible says you take the bastard out and you kill him. Period. Done.
Amen.
Done. You want to see crime disappear in America? Follow God's law. You want to see taxation disappear in America? Follow God's law. You want to see the criminals in government disappear overnight? Follow God's law. Period. That's it, folks. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple.
Well, 2 points, Pastor Dan. Two quick comments on Q, and I want to move on to one more that I've seen in the recent news. And I damn near sent a love letter to the editor of our local paper, but as you well know, I've been taught to kind of keep my comments on a low tone. But back to the the plane stealing up there in Washington, I look at the psychological side. I'm not Dr. Phil, but I did complement my two engineering degrees with a minor in psychology, and I really did that just out of curiosity and didn't really see its value until 2007. But two things stood out. One is you mentioned that he was a mechanic. And my research says that is merely a title for his duties. He was not what you and I and the general people would call a mechanic. He was not allowed access to the aircraft other than he had clearance to do pushbacks with the little Jeep. He had clearance to guide the planes in and out with the wands, you know, the guy that stands there and tips the wands and signals the pilot. And he also was primarily, from what I've learned from several sources, mostly a baggage handler. Okay, because that plane was like a private puddle jumper service, if you will.
Right.
So when the press put out mechanic, that would lead one to believe that he did have access to the aircraft and he was probably more qualified than he really was. Okay, that stuck out to me. And the Q thing, from a psychological point of view, if, in fact, the air flight path that they're depicting, that would subliminally indicate craziness in the Q movement or the Q phenomenon. You see where I'm going?
Right.
And to a second point that I've seen coming up right here in Pinellas County and Hillsborough County, and other places around the country, now there's this measles outbreak. And every article in every publication that I've gone and researched shows a syringe and the vaccine bottle right there to put it in your subconscious. And the article that I read in my local newspaper yesterday or day before, you know, was, you know, it's time for people to do their part and get vaccinated. And all the conspiracy theorists, which, again, you know, polarizes us that have done the studies, and, you know, Big Pharma really isn't making all this money. I mean, this guy was just absolutely got my blood boiling. But you see my point? It's the
right.
It's the visual of the vaccine. It's the scare of the outbreak. And, oh, boy, I better run down right now and get jacked up with aluminum and baby parts and everything else to do my part to keep, you know, the measles from spreading. Well, in summary, I'm not denying that there isn't maybe a escalating report of measles, but was that intentionally embedded somehow in society to turn around and feed this? Go get your vaccine, just like the flu. And
it's
I look forward
news.
To your comments.
It's
exactly. Well,
it's
it might
news.
Not be fake, but I don't believe that measles just woke up one morning and said, "I'm going to come back alive."
No, it's fake.
It came
fake.
In through some of these illegal people that are coming in. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's fake. It's fake. Everything that comes out of their mouths is fake. I don't trust a single thing. Besides that, I had measles as a child. I had chicken pox as a child. Guess what? I'm still here, healthy as a horse, 65 years old, probably going to outlive 90% of my friends and family, unless the enemy, of course, does something. But, you know, because, one, I don't fear anything, and second of all, I don't trust any centralized organization, especially if it's tied to the government. I learned not to trust them when I was in the Air Force. They lied to me. From the time the recruiter signed me up at the AV station to the time I was discharged with an honorable discharge 4 years later, everything was a lie.
You know,
everything about Vietnam was a lie.
There was no condos and swimming pools and yoga parties.
Oh, my God. They didn't provide one single thing the recruiter told me they were going to do. The only thing they did do, which they were required by law to do, is I took a test before I enlisted, and they had to guarantee the job I wanted because I scored high enough I could pick the job I wanted. It was called the guaranteed job program. So I got the job I wanted, or I got an honorable discharge. That was the deal. Now, that, but the odds of me not getting the job I wanted were like 1 in 10 billion. So that was just a political thing to show, see how kind we are? Well, the odds of you not getting the job you wanted were pretty damn remote. The odds right. that measles is now a problem is pretty damn remote. And even if it wasn't, it's just like Zika. They got everybody fear-porned that Zika was a terrible thing. You know what the symptoms of Zika were? Basically a mild flu. The symptoms right. of a mild case of the flu. That's the worst that Zika could do.
Well,
and
real quick on Zika,
down there.
You know, because that was on my radar, especially down in your neck of the woods. And our research showed, you know, Rick Scott, the governor of the state of Florida, which should be hanging from an oak tree in my backyard, in my opinion, for his Medicare fraud. His wife, and of course Rick is involved, but it's in a blind trust. His wife is a senior investor and sits on the board of directors of the company that it was contracted to apply the Zika through low aerial helicopter and plane and the pump trucks that go through neighborhoods. So it was an absolute money-making boogeyman under the bed. Don't pay attention to the helicopters that are spraying this crap in the air because we're here to protect you. See, and that's... As a educated, somewhat civil man, that kind of stuff just, I don't like the word triggered, but it is probably appropriate. That just triggers me into saying, damn it, bullshit. I call BS. And, of course, then you start coming out. Now you're a raving lunatic, and that's what we need to break through. I don't know very many things for sure, Pastor Dan and listeners, but I can smell the output of a north end of a southbound bull coming at me before the wind even blows it at me. And before I react, I go and do my research, and I'm so blessed over the years of doing broadcast and other areas of research in my real job to get the help of people I trust to assimilate together the opinions like on this plane and the opinions on this recent boogeyman called the measles. And real quick, I had the measles. I had the chicken pox. And you all know my girl Kim. They used to have chicken pox gatherings to get all the kids together to get them to get it. And the moms would watch over them and, you know, have the chicken soup and everything. And back to the body that you mentioned, our bodies healthy will create the immunities that we need, which is what these vaccines propose to do. In other words, we're going to inject you with a dead flu vaccine, and it's going to encourage your body to produce the antibodies, but you better get a booster this year, which is two hits to the doctor. And next year, we have a different cootie, different boogeyman, so you got to do it all over again. I call BS. I do. You said it at the beginning of your broadcast. Our bodies are well-engineered, well-tuned engines. And I'm probably not the healthiest guy on the block, but I'll tell you what, Dan, you said it too. You know, what is it that we try to eat healthy? I was looking at some of the ingredients on the pretzels I like, and there's, you know, brown color number 17, and I went and researched that, and I'm thinking, well, that's not healthy, but at the end of the day, I do my best. I don't eat McDonald's. I don't eat junk food. I used to love shrimp and snow crab and all that, and you kind of said some things that made me wonder, but what stopped me from eating shellfish before I discussed it with you was the fact that they've killed our oceans, especially the Gulf of Mexico, where a lot of these things come from. Now, Jim, okay, they'll say, well, you love grouper. I do. Gulf grouper, black grouper, it's the most delicious fish you'd ever want to eat if it's prepared properly. But what that fish is taking in is exactly what you're saying, and then we're eating it. So to wrap up that little bit of a rant, back to an ARC community, and, you know, I looked into actually building a fish farm in the back of my property, and there's a lot of things to consider. You don't just build a big pond or swimming pool type thing without the proper evolution of their waste. And a lot of these farm bred fish, I've noticed, they're swimming around in their own feces and regurgitating it through their gill system. So back to the ARC, if you know, we build we either get a property that has a spring-fed pond and we naturally stock it and not overfish it, let Yahweh do the natural order of reproduction. That's good, clean food. Same with true free-range chickens. That's a farce. You know, you buy a free-range chicken, and they look like they're not fully grown. I ordered a smoked chicken from a local smokery, and that thing came in, and, you know, the legs and the breasts and the wings, it looked like a mini version of a good big, fat, plump fryer. And I can go on and on, but you see where I'm going with that? We got to get back to natural. We got to get rid of Monsanto. We got to get rid of all this GMO. And frankly, Dan, the land that we do finally select for the ARC project, we have to be sure that that soil is not polluted with previous GMO grown crops, because my research says we actually have to remove and burn some of the soil, or, you know, put in some type of growth like clover or something that's going to draw that crap out and then burn
hemp.
That yield. Yeah.
Hemp.
Yeah, perfect. Exactly,
hemp.
Sir.
Yeah. Hemp will pull more heavy metals and toxins out of the soil than any plant known. And it grows fast. So you can get, in a growing season, you could get as much as 6 or 7 crops of hemp. So that's 6 or 7 times the plant has purified the soil, and you just take that crop of hemp out and destroy it because it's got all the pollutants in it. So, here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing, and this is what I'm trying to get through to our people. Our Heavenly Father gave us everything we need. He gave us the soil. He gave us the sun. He gave us clean water. He gave us the foods, if it's natural. He gave us all of these things. He gave us the law, which we are to live by. He gave us our lives. We don't need anything that Babylon is purporting to, quote, give us. We don't need large central government. We sure as hell don't need large central banks. We don't need large centralized religion. We don't need any of these bastards. That's a mental construct. That they're all in bed together. That's what's coming out, and that's what, whether you like Q or not, Q is starting to get people to think. That's why Q said, it's the people that you have grown to trust that you're going to find out have been guilty of these heinous crimes that we're reading about. The very people you were told by the media, the lying media, that were there for your benefit, the government, the mainstream churches, the Catholic Church, people like Billy Graham, Bob Hope, all these, Michael Landon. Oh, yeah, guess what? They're all pedophiles. They're either homosexuals, pedophiles, or some other deviant. They were all trafficking in children. And yet,
speaking of Michael Landon, real quick, Michael Landon was the, of course, was Little Joe on the Bonanza series. And then one of my favorites to watch early on was Little House on the Prairie. It was, just that. But, and again, I don't care what anybody does in their bedroom, but I have a problem with faggots and lesbians, Dan. You know that. I absolutely have a problem with them, like I have a problem with Jews. But Michael Landon was the, much like Bill Cosby, was the face of pure and righteous and this, that, and the other. And when it comes out, and I don't know for sure, but my research says he was gay. Once again, we were hogswaggled, if that's a word, by, he's a good guy and he's pure and he's a Christian. Joel Osteen, I used to follow him, and Robert Schuller. I liked Robert Schuller because he preached in kind of a businessman's way. Way back. This is back in 1997. 96, 97. And then I figured out, you know, how much of a fraud and fake he was. And, of course, Orstein, they're nothing more than motivational speakers, a.k.a. pickpockets in the pulpit. And one thing that, and I'll yield after this, one thing that really frosts my rockets is when I put my trust and faith in somebody only to find out that they are full of the north end of a southbound bull's excrements.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you, people, again, the solutions are there. They're not hard. They won't take very long. A lot of people say, oh, it'll take us years to recover. No, we won't. Just look at Germany when the National Socialist German Workers' Party got control in Germany. They turned it around in less than 5 years. In fact, that's why Adolf Hitler was on Time magazine as the man of the year in 1938, because of the turnaround in the German society and their economy to the better. Isn't it funny? The same Jewish publications called him a devil a few years later. Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what they did with Saddam Hussein. Oh, that's exactly what they did with Muammar Gaddafi. That's exactly what they did with Uncle Joe, the communist Zionist pig leader of the Soviet Union. How about that? When you're doing what they want, you're a hero, and as soon as they want your oil, your land, or a new regime, they turn the same presses around to make you out to be a devil. Is that Manuel Noriega, same thing, over and over and over. When the hell are people going to wake up? The media is our enemy. The mainstream media is our enemy. And besides that, our Christ told us to love the truth. He was the truth, the way, and the life. And if you don't love the truth, then you don't love the Christ. It's as simple as that. So all you people out there pretending to be churchgoers, pretending to be believers, if you don't love the truth with every fiber in your body, you are a hypocrite and you are a fool. And you're not fooling the King of Kings, because you're the people he says that when he returns, he'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Your lips are service to me only, but your hearts are far from me." You got all the sweet-sounding words, you got the right hardware, but your software is all wrong. Get away from me. I can't wait till that day, Jimmy and Curtis. I can't wait till that day. And I see Michael. I want to see if Michael had something here, because usually he has a comment. Michael, did you have anything you wanted to add today, if you're listening, or you have your mic turned on? Maybe not. Some people, it shows they have it hooked up, but they don't have it turned on, and apparently that's the case, so okay. But anyway, again, our solutions are easy, they're fast, they're simple, they make sense. They bring about peace and prosperity for everybody, and I do mean everybody. Even the scripture says that those that are not of the house of Israel, meaning of our race, will be benefited by obeying God's law. Everybody benefits from the obedience to the Father. And so we can solve all these problems. They're very easy to solve. The people just have to give up on Babylon. They have to turn their backs on this system, which we don't need. And that includes, again, centralized government, big, large, centralized armies. Our founding fathers said large standing armies were what? A bane to any civilized nation. And the word bane means a detriment, something evil, something bad. Large standing armies are a bane to all civilized nations, because large standing armies want to stay in business. Large standing armies want to find something to do. Large standing armies don't want you ever to wake up to that. That's why the large standing armies are in bed with the industrial complex, because they all just want one thing, to stay in power and to keep making money. Well, when are the people of the earth going to decide that making money isn't necessarily a great thing? Unbelievable. Truth matters, people. And if you think this is a great system, well, then worship it. Stop being such a fake. Stop going down to church and holding a Bible and claim that you love the living God. Because you don't. You love the beast. You love the mercantile system. You love the delicacies of Babylon. The whore of Babylon, Revelation says. The delicacies. Look that word up in the Greek language. It means all the things that you got in your house. Your nice car, your boat, your flat screens, your furniture, your booze, your drugs, your entertainment. Delicacies that Babylon offers you for your obedience and your acquiescence. Going along with, as Curtis says, going with the flow. Now, come on, little sheep, just go along. Yeah, I'm Satan, but you know, if you just go along, I'll make sure you get all these delicacies. I'll put some shekels out of the local synagogue in your pocket, and you can go down and buy that new 90-inch television, which you need like another hole in the head. You can go down and buy that. You can go down and buy better bed, you know, bigger, better bed. Well, the one you got is already bigger than you need, but you don't you want a bigger one? Don't you want a bigger flat-screen computer? Don't you want a faster computer? Don't you want a newer car? Even though there's nothing wrong with the one you've got now, but don't you want a new one? Your neighbors have a new one. You see how the beast does it? Constantly enticing you. Oh, you want bigger, you want better, you want newer, you want. When what we actually need to live by is very simple and pure and does not upset nature, does not pollute. That's why there's communities forming all across the world right now. If you do any searching, you can find out. There are people who are walking away from the system and they're building little sustainable communities of tiny homes or little dome homes. They're growing their own food. They're living off solar power. They have pure water, pure food. They don't negatively impact the environment, etc. It's so simple.
Well, Dan, to the point of the homes that you and I have been sharing, I think I told you back in, I'm going to say mid-2000s, I became aware of a company in northern Florida that was building, and I actually have a model that they sent me that will sit on my table, and I've yet to take it out of the box and build it. But it was constructed of steel triangles, and then there was a mesh put over it, and so on and so forth. And you and I discussed the aerodynamic ability of it, the insulation ability of it. You sent me several follow-up pictures of dome homes, but the one I have on your backdrop set for on my channel today for your show is my favorite. And I'll tell you, you know, I still drive the car I bought in 2002. I don't drive a lot. It looks as good as new. It has 51,000 miles on it. I'd love to have a new Ford F-150, but, you know, I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm debt-free, not to brag, and I'm not saying I could go out and pay cash for it. That's not appropriate for this show. But why in the hell would I take a perfectly good automobile that looks good, been well-maintained, tires and brakes and struts and all that have been replaced recently. The car starts, it's a six-cylinder, so it gets out of his way, of its own way. But let's go back to the homes. The one that you sent me that I really, really, really am going to look into the builder on, I think is appropriate for the Ark City to complement maybe some of the domes that will let us get set up quickly, give people nice, clean, safe shelter with the engineers on the team that you have put together, and thank you for inviting me. We can rig water and power and all that on our own, but I'll tell you, where I am a little bit... I just love the one. I sent you the picture this morning of your backdrop. That, I would sell this place in a New York minute and build me one of those someplace because it is absolutely weather correct, even right down to an in-house fireplace. And I don't need a Taj Mahal, Dan, but I like a nice, clean, spacious place. I'm not into these tiny homes, although there are people I know that just think they're great. But that building that you sent me that I have in your backdrop would facilitate my private cloud system, all my computer rooms, and give me a safe, comfortable place to live and hold fellowships and have a gathering place. So we need to pick a place, and you and I will talk off air on some things I did look into this morning. I don't know that you want to put that out on air. I don't have a problem with it. But at the end of the exercise, if we get the right people and the right hands and the right talents and the right piece of property, we have, and with all due respect, I don't think, and the gentleman was correct at the beginning of the show, you can't just go off-grid and do it. You have to bring in some knowledge. You know, I bring solar knowledge because I run it here. I bring electrical knowledge. I bring communications between the homes. We don't need the phone companies. We don't need cellular, but it would be nice to have a way to communicate like we all do through text. I'm working with a product right now that is a off-grid. It's called the Mesh Network. Dan, I think I shared some of that.
Mm-hmm.
I made great strides with the creators of that product this week. I was granted a very unusual developer hashtag key, and in 2 weeks I'm going to have a one-on-one webinar on my private Zoom system to share some ideas. So this product is absolutely would create our mesh network for telecommunications within our Arc City. We don't need Verizon. We don't need, and I'm not suggesting that some of us won't have it. I'm just saying we don't need it.
Right. You have a choice.
Right.
That's what it's all about, having choice. Like you said, that home that I sent you the picture of may be too much for some people because they don't have the needs and they don't have the want. They don't want to take care of it. They want the tiny house concept. But that's the beauty of the whole idea of the ARC community. Under God's law, it's your choice. You can have whatever
right.
you want.
Well, I can live in a facility.
You're not going to have a... You're not going to have a homeowners association coming down going, well, no, we want all domes in here. Or, no, we got to have these colors. Your color doesn't match everybody else's. No,
don't want that American flag over the front door. That
yeah,
really
that,
is
okay,
pretty.
Okay,
well,
first,
yeah.
we're gonna put a flag in the ground, and the highest flag on our grounds will be the flag representing our King of Kings, Yahweh. Everything
Amen.
Else is subservient to that. So if people don't like that, then they need to stay away. But he's the King of Kings. Not the stars and stripes. Not the state flag. His flag. We're in the trouble we're in because he's taken second place to man and man's law. And that's what's wrong.
Well,
the people that came to this land and settled it and made it what it was believe that the King of Kings rules over this world, not man's law.
Speaking of that, before you run out of time, and again, I've got all day when I get on with you on this show, but did you see, and I don't remember if it was you that sent it to me or one of my other people, but they just inaugurated the commander of the Space Force, and I found the costume he was wearing to include the necklace around him. Dan, I swear it came out of Star Trek. It was scary. I'm not kidding you. And if it wasn't you that shared it,
no.
You know, I try to give people credit that turned me into, you know, or send me information. And it just gets to the point where I'm past that. If I don't need credit or want to take credit, but if you don't recall the picture and the video of when they brought this guy in and crowned him Grand Poobah, if you will, of the Space Force, it is absolutely concerning. I mean, especially he's got this big necklace, metal necklace that goes around the back of his nape of his neck all the way down to about the center of his necktie. And it has these medallions on it that are probably an inch to 2 inches in diameter. And once again, my Dr. Phil kicked in, was, okay, what are they trying to impress on the mind with this? And if that wasn't you, I'll make sure I get that to your email as soon as we go off air. But, you know, back to Q, back to Trump. Trump was the best choice out of the snake pit. I'm on the fence because I have a little bit of me that does believe that he is giving us a spoonful of sugar, but the medicine is still being slowly kind of backed off or applied. From a technical point of view, with China and Russia and even North Korea having some birds up there, or Sputniks, if you want to call them that. We don't, you know, they launch all this shit from Cape Kennedy, almost a launch a week. Oh, it's a weather satellite, or it's a communication satellite to get the natives in South Africa on the internet. I call BS on that. Mm-hmm. And you saw where that one was, it's a Russian satellite that kind of has a out-of-the-grain orbit going on right now. And frankly, from my point of view as well, I feel qualified to say, with your nuclear background, there's not a damn thing from some little couple doors opening up on a couple of these LEOs, the low-orbit satellites, that could instigate a EMP attack. And that leads me to ask why we haven't hardened our grids, but Florida just put up $19 million to keep the midterm elections safe and sound. I mean, again, I could go off on all kinds of rabbit holes there, but at the end of the day, folks, Satan is hard at work. And I just caution people to not lay your flag into any one thing. And I want to disclaim too, Pastor Dan, before I yield, I'm on the fence, which means I'm not agreeing with or disagreeing with the validity of Q. The value I see in Q is it's become such a, what's the term, such a fad, if you will, for lack of a better term, thinking on my feet here on Sunday. It has caused people to take notice, which even if it is a rogue psyop, it is providing our side with some benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what it's done is it's brought the whole idea of Q into the narrative of the average person. There's a lot of people, even my family and friends, that I've been talking about what Q's been talking about for many, many months, and they're calling me all of a sudden, what the hell's this Q thing all about? Well, they hadn't even heard about it. So that's my opportunity to tell them what I do know about it and turn them on to some of the better YouTube channels where they describe it, including Lionel Nation, which just put one out today, the former prosecutor from Tampa. He put out a 17 points of Q and what it's all about. So, and there's many others as well. But the point of it is it's getting these concepts into the narrative of the average person. And again, maybe not everybody, but then the American Revolution didn't focus on everybody. The American Revolution, the people that produced Common Sense and the pamphlets for liberty, focused on the movers and shakers. They didn't focus on every soul that walked the earth. They wanted to get the thinkers, the people that have a brain that still functions, the people that have some sort of a conscience. They wanted to get them involved and get them to understand what's going on. Because a lot of these people will never wake up. They don't ever want to know anything. So why in the hell would we waste time with them? That's why the Bible says, you take the truth into the town. If the people accept it, you stick around and teach. If they don't, you knock the dust off your feet and keep right on going.
Well, they suffer from two of my most favorite phrases that I've used on my air since 2009. They suffer from two things, Dan, in my opinion. One is normalcy bias, and the other is perceived trust. The government would never do this to us, which is a combination of both terms. And that's where they come back and think that we are, you name it, tinfoil hats. Whoever came up with conspiracy theories, another nutbag. You can't theorize on a conspiracy. It's either, you know, and what are we doing this morning? We're not conspiring, but then again, we are. We're conspiring on a better place to live. We're conspiring on we don't believe their BS anymore. We're conspiring on getting together by our duty, not only invested in by Yahweh, but the Constitution. It is our duty. Read anyone that's taken an oath to the Constitution to defend and protect against both enemies, foreign and domestic. Domestic means our government, our neighbors that are raping our wives or children, like you suggested. And I'm going to wrap up with this. It is all simple. All we have to do is get rid of the layers of pine tar and Band-Aids and gauze and another layer of pine tar on our wounded knee, if you will. Get the wound open, let it cleanse itself, and then heal it the proper way.
Yeah, amen. Well, that brings me back to the code of honor that was sent to me some time ago, and I can't give credit because there was nobody attached to it. But it says, be without fear in the face of your enemies. Stand brave and upright that Yahweh God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it means your death. Protect the helpless and do no wrong. And then another one that was sent was, never be lukewarm. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people to just happen without your input. Another way of saying that is the biblical way. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And one more, when Thomas Jefferson said, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Right there. It's all in a nutshell. It's all simple. It's not very complicated. It's not rocket science. It's easy to understand. The difficulty is in the doing. Our people have to learn how to be doers. Get involved. Do something. Yahweh does not bless pew setters. I'm telling you. Yahweh is not going to bless you simply because you go into a whited sepulcher on Sabbath day and sit on the pew and have your holy presence there with the Baal priest up behind the pulpit. That is not what's going to get blessed. What's going to get blessed is the true believers who do as that one saying I just said, come along and they put something in action. They come together and say, you know what? I'm going to have enough faith in the Father that I'm going to take a step forward and see if he blesses me or not. There's your real faith. You take a step forward and trust that Father is going to be a man of his word. He said, I am with you. Did he not? You don't go forward by yourself. King David didn't go down onto that battlefield by himself. Yahweh was with him the whole time. He would never have faced Goliath as a solitary individual without Yahweh's presence right there with him, walking right there with him. He knew the Father through the Holy Spirit. He knew he was going to destroy that piece of shit, Goliath. Just like we've got a piece of crap now called Babylon, whatever term you want to use for the cabal, the Zionists, the neocons. You know, a lot of these people outing all these people that are doing the terrible, terrible things, they have a very hard time pronouncing the word Jew. Have you ever noticed that? And I can see Lane is listening in, and Lane, I'm stealing this from your email to me. They have a really hard time pronouncing those three little letters, Jew. They want to call it cabal. They want to call it Kabbalism. They want to call it Talmudism. They want to call it Zionism. They want to call it another ism, communism. But it's the Jews. All right? Why don't you just come out and say it? Where are your stones, folks? It's the Jews, exactly as Christ said it. And that's why they murdered him. Are you afraid they might murder you? Well, let me give you some news. The grave is the destination for all of us, folks. It's what you do with the time you're breathing air that matters. We're all going to go into that pit. We're all going to stand in front of the judgment seat. What are you going to tell them when you get there? Have you ever thought about that? It's what you do with your existence that matters, not how long you live. You can live to be 300 years old, but if you didn't do a goddamn thing with it, what good is it going to do you on Judgment Day? Well, geez, Father Yahweh, I got 300 years out of that body. Okay, what did you do with 300 years? Well, not much. I existed. I got a couple new boats. I got a big house. I was promoted 5 times. Oh, okay. Well, that's really nice, but I'm going to put you over here with the goats, okay? So you're going to go the way of the goats. Now, well, I only made it 25 years, Father, but I was killed for speaking the truth and defending the homeless and the orphans and putting pedophiles up on the gallows, and they finally got to me one night. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. I have a mansion for you. Right here in heaven, I've got a mansion for you. But that piece of crap over there with 300 years of sitting on his ass, he's going to be out slopping hogs with the rest of the goats.
Amen.
Is that what you want, people? You want to have the look from a pure soul as Yahweh with those piercing blue eyes? You want him staring at you in disgust as you explain why you sat on your sorry ass all those years? Or do you want to go down in a blaze of glory? Or is the one saying that was sent to me by Barry, a quote from the movie, A Man in the Iron Mask, I'd rather die covered in blood than an old man laying in my own piss. Is that your goal? To be an old man laying in your own piss rather than in the blood of your enemies? That's not the warriors that made this world a civilized place. They believed in being covered in the blood of my enemies was a worthy death. Not how long you live, but what did you accomplish in your ear in the years that you walked this earth? What did you get accomplished? How much truth did you tell? How many people did you help? Did you stand against the evil? How many times does the Bible talk about the fact that we are to resist evil with every single thing in our body, our heart, mind, and soul? That's as plain as the nose on your face. You're to resist evil. And you tell me you can't see the evil in this world today? Then you're blind as a bat. It's as simple as that. If you don't see it today, with all this corruption and this disgusting behavior around us, if you can't see that, then you're part of the problem. You're going to go the way of the goats. You're going to go the way of the terrors. Go read Obadiah. See what happens to them. It's not pretty. Or do you want to take a stand with the righteous? Do you want to try to do something? That's what the whole Free State of Florida and the ARC Project's all about. Just getting a group of people that says, you know what, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to put a flag in the ground. I'm going to declare this property for Yahweh and let the chips fall where they may. If the beast wants to try something, well, you're going to stand against us and a righteous Father in heaven. Because if you take a stand for Yahweh, who's going to stand against you? Goliath didn't turn out too well as David walked around with his head in a basket. All right? So the enemy might threaten you, but fear is the tool of the enemy. I got an excellent quote about that, if I can find it real quick. I think it's either Thomas Paine or, Thomas Paine. The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance. In other words, everything that you rail against, people, has its strength and power in your fear of resistance. We've already won this battle, and we just don't know it. The sons and daughters of the Most High are the victors in this thing, and you just don't know it. You're too afraid. You're too worried about being called a name. You're too worried about what the press might say. You're worried. You're fearful. Always fearful. Which is a sign of weakness and a lack of faith. And a lot of us have it. I'm not sitting here in judgment. Trust me. I'm not ever claiming to be a perfect man. I'm just simply giving you the words that are given to me to give to you. It's our fear, people, and I mean all of us. Our fears are what are guiding us. Not our strengths, not our faith in the Father. It's our fear of the enemy. And the Jews love it when you're afraid. That's why they put all that money into the fake news media, to keep you afraid, to keep you confused. Well, I'm about out for the day, gentlemen. If you had any closing comments, I'll start with Curtis since he was the first caller. Curtis, did you have anything you want to add before we go today?
None. I totally agree.
All right. Very good, Curtis. Thanks for calling in, and Yahweh bless your heart down there in southeast Texas, buddy.
Take care.
All right, Jimmy. Any closing comments?
Other than, Dan, thank you for your gift of time. I have ideas to where we can further propagate our efforts here to make your Sunday morning show. You saw this morning I, for the first time, jumped in and joined the chat room, which was been a pleasure. You know I'm here, and once again, sir, thank you so much for your gift of time twice a week, and if we need to do any special shows or anything, you know I'm always here. Dan, as a man, Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh bless everyone within the listening reach of our voices today, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, Jimmy, and you know, Yahweh bless you and all the things that you're doing over there. You're taking a step out in the right direction and using your talents and your resources to educate people and make a difference in this world. If we could just multiply that by tens of thousands, this war would already be won. So bless your heart, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then I'm going to close this in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we are definitely in the perilous times that you spoke of in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and elsewhere in Scripture. It's perilous because the righteous have decided to sit it out. The righteous are on the sidelines watching the game instead of participating. The righteous are doing all the fumbling around with the keyboards and on the phones bitching and complaining, but they don't want to jump into the middle of the game while the game's being played without them. That's why nothing changes in this world. You do all the bitching and nothing changes. The same group of criminals go to Washington. The same group of criminals go into the state capitol. The same group of criminals go into the county seats and on the school board and everything else. It's corrupt and it's criminal because the people have become apostate, sitting on the sidelines thinking it'll get better simply because they pray or wish it would get better. I hate to tell you this, folks, but our Heavenly Father wants us to take action. He wants us to get together, not take action individually, take action as a group. A group, not individuals. The Bible was written to a group, not an individual. A group, a nation, a race, a people. And Father, we've let you down. I hate to say this, but we've let you down. I personally don't even know why you deal with us. I don't know why you don't hit the big red reset button and just flush us right down the toilet. We are useless on this earth. Useless. We were given your talent, your spirit to discern, your spirit to create, your spirit to defend the helpless and to promote well-being and to destroy the wicked. That's what you gave us, and what have we done with it? We sit and cower on the sidelines in fear. We are despicable people on this earth. I, for one, would not blame you one bit for hitting that button and just flushing us down the toilet. I really wouldn't. And I know I'll be flushed right down along with everyone else. Trust me, I understand that. But I just don't understand why he contends with us. Why do you accept this behavior out of your children? Why do you allow the misery to go on? Why are we sitting around hoping the swamp will clean up the swamp? And if there's white hats out there in the military, and I believe they're there and they're listening, what further authorization do you need, men? What further authorization do you need to fix the problem? The communists are here. The atheists, the satanic forces are here and on the rise. Their goals and what they want to do to mankind are plain as day. There is no mystery here. And certainly you in the military, with your access to the intelligence and all the snooping that's been going on for decades, you know what I'm talking about. It's not just the citizen soldiers in the militia that need to stand up and realize that you have authorization already, folks. The King of Kings gave us the authority to have dominion on this earth from the time we first left our mother's womb. We don't need any more authority. We have the authority. We just have the courage, have to have the courage to step forward and take that authority. These bankers and these rich and these pedophiles and all of these celebrities and all of the fake news, they are all a mental construct. And I ask Father Yahweh, please, would you give our men a stiff backbone for a change, that they would stand up and be men again, not listening to the wailing of the wives and the women and the children and the minorities, and certainly not these whining, sniveling, schizophrenic Jews. We are the men that he put here under Adam. Adam was the first white man, the Adamic race. That's just history. And we were put here to tend this world. Not the universe, this world, right here. We're not leaving this earth. I hope you understand that. We know that. Those of us that truly love the Father, we know that. There's nothing out there that I fear. What's going to come through the firmament that's going to hurt me? Nothing. Nothing comes through the firmament that the Father doesn't allow. And guess what? You're not leaving here either. We're here for the duration. We're here to fulfill his purposes. It's his plan. It's his design. You either take part in it or you don't. That's your choice. That's your decision. Will you be in the Father's will or will you be outside his will? Or as Mike says, you don't really have free will, people. That's a lie of the serpent seed. Your will is to be in alignment with your Father. Your goals, your plans, everything you do and say should be in alignment with your Father. That's when the blessings come. That's when the earth returns to the paradise that it was meant to be. That's when the widows and orphans don't have to live in fear. That's when the little children don't have to worry about being rounded up and sacrificed by these sick and demented perverts. The world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. It's really that simple. I pray, Father, that you would burn in the hearts of our men that feeling right there. It's time to be manifested. It's time to put an end to the misery and suffering on this earth. And it starts with repentance of the individual and a coming back to the Father. And then as a group of individuals, we can make a difference. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh, as we try to struggle on. Those who are trying to make a difference, give them encouragement, give them good discernment, and put a hedge of protection around them by flaming swords of angels to protect them from the wicked that are out there. We pray for your coming to be soon, Father, to sit upon the throne as our monarch, and put an end to all this bickering and infighting and backstabbing that our people are famous for. We would rather fight each other than the enemy. We'd rather tear ourselves down than tear down the walls of the enemy. Bless those who bless you, Father Yahweh, and curse those who curse you. We ask and pray all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.